You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. It is hump day, and welcome into another edition of The Philip Jordan Show. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in-studio host and producer of Dustin Wolf Football on I-6.9, The Legend, and the Auburn writer for Last Word on College Football. We have a fun show planned for you guys today. Hope everybody enjoyed Monday's episode with Troy head coach Jared Parker. I know a lot of people have said they enjoyed it, said it was a good episode. So appreciate those kind comments. On today's show, I'll be joined by my good friend Taylor Jones, the managing editor over at the Auburn Wire, part of USA Today. We're going to talk all things Auburn football. A lot of folks are going to talk about basketball too as well. The SEC tournament starts today. So we'll be jumping in to that. And then we'll have some cool stuff after that interview as well. You can check out the Philip Jordan Show podcast over at wiregrassdailynews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. Everybody, as promised off the top, I'm joined by good friend Taylor Jones, my go-to guy. When it comes to all things Auburn football, basketball, maybe down the road we'll talk space, but we'll see. But not today. Anyway, Taylor Jones, Auburn Wire managing editor. And Taylor, appreciate the time once again.
Hey, it's good to be back on again, Philip. Good to see you.
Oh, yeah. It has been a good bit since we have done this. I'm just going to let the audience know, Taylor, this is okay. I'll let everybody know you're listening or watching this on Wednesday, but we record this on Monday evening. Birthday good wishes are in order for Taylor. He is spending his birthday with us. This is what he was doing on Monday night. So nothing better than being on a podcast talking Auburn on your birthday.
Hey, absolutely nowhere else I'd rather be, especially this time of year with so much going on. You know, it's a good way to get it all out.
And I don't know if you're like me, but it's just a fear of walking outside and start sneezing your head off and getting irritated eyes and all kind of stuff with all this pollen flying all over the place in the South.
Yeah, just driving around this weekend, and I could already see it in the trees. I was like, any minute now, it's just going to go everywhere and kind of, you know, put a fog on me. But yeah, just enjoying it right now before it gets real bad, which, you know, it seems like every year the older I get, the worse it gets. So I'm not looking forward to that, but it's, you know, weather's starting to get warm, so, you know, got to take the good with the bad sometimes.
That's it. You get really cold, but that's coming in, and I guess I wish I had it queued up, but there's a meme I post on social media all the time. It's got blooms, beautiful and everything, and it says, you see beauty, I see death by allergies, and that's just kind of the way I feel about it. But Auburn is resuming spring practice. It's always kind of a weird thing. You kind of get it going, and then you have spring break, and then you get going again. I think Auburn kind of always has this. It's been a tradition like no other, as Jim Nance would say. But just for you, going through spring, like I said, they already had a little bit of it, and they resumed this week. What's kind of like the big storylines or things you're hoping to get out of Auburn for spring practice?
I've got to start offensively. I think you have to look at the quarterback situation going in. I feel like Auburn is in the same spot that they were in last year, where they're not really comfortable with the guy that they have. You know, they had TJ Finley, Robbie Ashford going for the battle last year. Coach Freeze ended up not liking the situation there, so he pulled Peyton Thorne out. Peyton Thorne, kind of an up-and-down year, not really impressive in either front. So now he's going to go back in trying to fight for his job. You have Holden Gurner, a kid that, you know, on tape looks really good, but for some reason hasn't done what he needs to do in order to get that job. And I think that's the big thing. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, Holden's got to be up there. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, why hasn't he taken it yet? So you got Holden Gurner there. Hank Brown had a great showing in the Music City Bowl, kind of coming out of nowhere. So you got to think that he's in the mix too. And then you have Walker White. You know, is Walker White developed enough to where he can handle an SEC or lead an SEC offense? out in week one, or will this be a really good chance for him to develop? And if neither one of those are a good scenario, do you try to go to the transfer portal again when the window opens back up? So quarterback's one I'm definitely looking at. Receiver I'm looking at as well, because that was a bit of a disappointing position last year, because knowing the history that Hugh Freeze has with receivers, quarterbacks, he's not really known for having, you know, NFL type guys. He's had some guys that have done well, like Chad Kelly. That's one of them. Caden Salter at Liberty is another one that's done really well. Malik Willis. But usually those are the guys that are throwing the balls to the DK Metcalfs and the AJ Browns and all of those. So that was kind of a disappointing position last year. But you have a healthy mix. You got the leading receiver, which was a tight end last year, Evaldo Fairweather's coming back in. Coy Moore looks to have a rebound year. He had a decent year 2 years ago, but really didn't have it all together last year. And then you have Cam Coleman and Bryce Kane that are on campus too. What kind of difference are they going to make in the spring? So those are the two that I'm looking at on offense. And then secondary completely is another one that I'm interested in watching to see how that unfolds too, because last year that was probably the most experienced unit that Auburn had. This year, all of those guys are now, they just competed in the NFL combine and they're getting ready for the NFL draft. So we're going to have somebody completely different, or a few other people come in a completely different role. So offensively, you got to look at quarterback, got to look at receiver, and then defense, the entire secondary. Who are going to step up in those three positions, and how much is Auburn going to improve going into the year?
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting offseason for Auburn, too, just because the coaching staff, a lot of changes. Carnell Callett-Williams, he's now with the Las Vegas Raiders as running back coach, which, of course, that is promotion for him, going from college to pro, doing that. And then, of course, Zach Etheridge ends up with Houston. And then, of course, Hugh Freeze calling the plays. Phillip Montgomery's gone. We bring in Derek Nix, somebody he's familiar with. And then Ron Roberts goes to Florida. And then DJ Durkin comes in as defense coordinator. And then Charles Killer, too. So I look at that on the defense side of the ball. You just added two really fantastic recruiters, because I don't really feel like that was a strong point for Ron Roberts, in my opinion. I feel like he's a good coach, good coordinator, but recruiting may not be his side of things. I'll ask you this, and I've seen this floated out there as an idea, maybe a thought Hugh Freeze was going with some of these changes, some of the hires he made. With Hugh Freeze stepping back into the play calling role, he needed assistants that were more equipped on the recruiting side to take that pressure away from him so he could focus more on the offense like he used to do at Ole Miss and Liberty. Is that something you could buy into?
Yeah, that's definitely something I like, because, you know, you mentioned Ron Roberts, and when you think of defensive recruiting, you really didn't think about him. You think of Crime Dog and Zach Etheridge being the main guys on defense that recruited. And then offensively, you've got Marcus Davis. Even though he's young to the Power Five, he's done a wonderful job, but Cadillac Williams was, you know, the man of that ship right there. Phillip Montgomery really wasn't known as a guy that recruited very well. Derek Nix, he's gone through several head coaching years at Ole Miss, so he's got to be doing something right. And the fact that Auburn got him after he was there for so long, you know, tells you what kind of guy Hugh Freeze is and what kind of coach that he is. But DJ Durkin being a great recruiter, I know we put out a series a couple of weeks ago about his top recruits, and Alex Anzalone, the leading tackler for the Detroit Lions, that's a DJ Durkin product. Several other big defensive players during that great stretch that Florida had in the early part of the earlier part of last decade. DJ Durkin, and then of course Charles Kelly, he's been all over the place, Alabama. Even though, you know, last year the Colorado experiment didn't really go the way that anybody dreamed that it would. You got to think of his role that he played in getting all those guys into Colorado and getting them to buy in. And I'm just excited for what those guys can do. And the more time that Hugh Freeze has to scheme up a game plan, you know, I like where that's going to go too.
Yeah, you know, you talk about quarterbacks too, and I did see a quote from Hugh Freeze that it's pretty much Peyton Thorne's job to lose, but he's still got to go out there and perform and do what he needs to do. I mean, you got to say he's got to be the favorite to be the quarterback, just from an experience standpoint. I really feel like Holden Gardner, this is a big spring for him, because you've got Hank Brown. Everybody's excited about him and what he did in a bowl game. What I liked, he just went out there and just slung it. It was like, hey, just throw caution to the wind, and he made plays. and he wasn't afraid to throw the ball in certain spots where we obviously saw Peyton Thorne. I think sometimes he's hesitant. He's worried to make a mistake sometimes. I think he's playing quarterback. That's dangerous in a bad way. And then I obviously talk about Walker White. We all know he's the future. They want him to be the future quarterback. So when it comes to holding, this has got to be a huge spring for him.
Yeah, I feel like he has to do something to separate himself, because I feel like over the last two seasons at least that he's had opportunities to possibly win the job, or maybe not win the job, but just at least prove that he's a viable option. And, you know, just like I said earlier, I don't know exactly what it is that Hugh Freeze is looking for. I don't really know what Brian Harsin was looking for a couple of years ago when he brought in Gruner, but they've given him chances and he just hasn't done enough to say, okay, this is the guy, you know, this is our guy. He's going to lead the offense the best way that he knows how to, and he's going to be our best option. So, yeah, I agree. I feel like this is a really big spring for him. Does he do well enough to beat out Peyton Thorne? I don't know, but I feel like you have to show some sort of progress, or, maybe Hugh will want to try to bring in someone else to try to ramp up the competition a little bit. But, yeah, I agree with Holden Gurner. That's a guy that I'm probably going to be looking at more on the quarterback position than anyone else, just because I want to see him step up and prove that he is a viable option in this offense.
Yeah, we always hear that he is the best pure thrower of all the quarterbacks. But you got to wonder how much is that just on 7-on-7. You're not being pressured. But once you get pressured, you've got live bullets flying around you. It's different. And he's kind of shown in his limited time, I'll give him that, limited time, that maybe he can't handle that too well. But whoever's the quarterback, little receivers, this is, everybody talks about it, right? It talks about Auburn, all these receivers. Cam Coleman is there. Bryce Cannon is there. Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons, they won't be there until the summer. But Coleman, Phoenix, Central Phoenix City, look, I know about him just from Dothan played him and the trouble he can cause anybody. And Hugh Freeze said, makes us look different. Just what do you think our reasonable expectations are for him going into this spring and also going into the season? Everybody wants him to be, a great receiver and make Auburn different, as Hugh Freeze says, but still freshman, first year college football.
Yeah, I feel like he has the physicality and the speed to kind of mix in, which is dangerous because you have Rivaldo Fairweather, who he's got the size, but, he's more of a strength guy. He's not a, break wide open kind of a guy. And then you have the Coy Moores, that were kind of on the smaller side. Cam Coleman is kind of a mix of what you want in a wide receiver and a tight end. He's physical, he's strong, he's fast. He's going to win 50-50 balls, which is something that Auburn hasn't had in quite some time. So I feel like Cam, and then when you get Perry on campus too, it's going to be a different ball game too. But I think probably the big thing is we know talent-wise what he can do, but, is he going to be wide receiver number one, and the fact that, he also is going to take on a leadership role too. Are people in that room going to look to him and, when – they're down in the dumps, is he going to pick them up? If they need to be motivated, is he going to chew them out? Kind of a guy like that. So I feel like physically he's got what Auburn is looking for, but leadership wise, that's something that we're really going to take a look at going into the spring. And if he can do all that, I don't expect him to be at Auburn very long because he's going to be making a lot of money on Sundays. But, Peyton Thorne's the guy, get it to him, let him lead. Offense is going to be completely different, just like Hugh Freeze said.
Well, you look at too, when it comes to a physical receiver, be honest, Rivaldo Fairweather is a tight end by position name only. He really is a receiver. Just the way they use him. Like you see a lot of the top tight ends in the NFL do. He's not much of a – he can block. I think he has that blocking ability, but that's not what he's known for. The other tight ends did more of that last season. So we've seen Peyton Thorne. He's going to look for that physical threat. Rivaldo Fairweather, so perhaps Ken Coleman. Something we talked about too a lot last year. I think every time we talk about, especially going into last season, Hugh Freeze, this is the best group of running backs he's had. Well, yeah. Pretty much all of them are back. Jarquez Hunter decides to come back, which was huge. Of course, Demario Austin and Brian Petit went into the portal, came back. I really want to see him in the return game. That's what he was known for at South Florida. And then, of course, Jeremiah Cobb, it just seems whenever he touches the ball, something good happens. So, again, Taylor, I think we're in the same spot. Running backs, this is a great group. use them, utilize them. And I think with Jarquez, it seems like every year he gets off to a slow start, and then as the season goes on, he gets better. It would be really big, I think, for him if he could get going early. But how do you want to see with the running backs progressing here in the spring?
You know, talking about, you know, what Hugh Freeze does, we know him more for being a receiver guy. We know him as, you know, guys that are going to throw 2,500, 3,000 yards. I think maybe once, maybe twice, but I know once recently at Liberty, he had a 1,000-yard rusher, and he hasn't really had many of those. I think that may have been the only one, the running back that he had at Liberty a few years ago. But Jarquez was close to getting it, and I know that's kind of the standard at Auburn, because I can remember back in the, you know, mid-2000s with the, you know, Carnell Williams and Ronnie Brown, they called Auburn RBU, Running Back University. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the standard that, you know, if you're a running back at Auburn, you get 1,000 yards at least. I think it may have been the 2012 season with Trey Mason, where Nick Saban got a little peeved because they kept running and trying to be physical in the fourth quarter of that game, even though Auburn was 3-9 and Dean Chizik was on his way out the door. But hey, Mason was that close to getting 1,000 yards. They were going to do everything they could to get there and keep that standard going and keep a streak of, you know, 7-8 years, I think, in a row that a running back had gotten 1,000 yards. But I feel like that's a reasonable expectation this year. If not Jarquez Hunter, if he can't manage it, maybe Damari Austin, maybe Jeremiah Cobb can get 1,000 yards this year. Brian Petit, both kick returner and punt returner, can get a lot more yards because he got over 700, I think, combined yards for just returning last year. Brian Petit did. So kind of showcasing that speed a little bit. But I think that's got to be the bare minimum expectation this year, is at least one of those guys have to get 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I got to get back to that. It's kind of, I feel like it's been a bit because, I mean, Tank had the year. I believe he got over 1,000. But yeah, still.
It's hard to believe he only had 1 year of over 1,000 yards. It just, it seems unreal.
It's sad. It feels like he was almost, his Auburn career was kind of wasted. With the last year of Gus and then Brian Harsin and all that stuff, it just, you know, never, the offensive line was never there when he was.
No.
I mean, how many times did he look like he was stopped behind the line of scrimmage and he just made something happen with Tank? And sadly, and I hate to bring some Auburn fans to get mad at me, Taylor, what I'm about to say. It's bad that maybe the biggest highlight of his career was the fact that he did not stay in bounds against Alabama. That's one thing I think some people remember, which is sad, but still, yeah, he was wasted there. I just wish he could have maybe stayed another year. We'll see what he would have done with Hugh Freeze last year, but we should never know. Doing good things there with the Jaguars, though. I think we ain't got to worry about that. So we're going to take a one-minute timeout. When we come back, we're going to look at the defense, and we will talk some Auburn basketball right here on the Philip Jordan Show on Wiregrass Daily News Sports.
96.9 The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits 106.7 KMX, Today's Country 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7, Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
All right, everybody, welcome back in to the Philip Jordan Show here on Wiregrass Daily News Sports. You know, jumping into defense, and you talked about when I asked you the question, spring storylines. Obviously, the secondary is one. We're going to get to that. Up front defensive line, replacing Marcus Harris. I mean, what a player. 40 tackles last year, led Auburn with 11 tackles for loss, 7 sacks. They also losing Justin Rogers. I don't think he lived up to maybe some expectations that maybe a lot of people had going in, but still that's some depth that you lose there. Now you do have Jason Jones returning. And then a real look up just up front in general for Auburn, Keldrick Falk. You guys, but that's a talent there. They want to see him take that next leap. But when you look at the defensive line, How do you place Marcus Harris? Who are some players you're kind of looking at there?
Yeah, there's a couple. You know, looking to see Keldrick Faulk, of course. You know, coming off the edge, and Elijah McAllister is another guy that they're looking to replace. And you know, we'll you know, of course, have you know some previews of the defensive line coming up too. But Keldrick Faulk's got to be the main guy that I'm looking at. He had a solid year last year, but I think this year is going to be his breakout year. And you just have so many others that are coming up in the defensive line spot, the buck spot, that are really going to be coming up. But Keldrick Faulk's got to be the guy I'm looking at the most.
Then you talk about secondary and all the names, you know, that are gone. DJ James, Zion Puckett, Nehemiah Pritchett, Jalen Simpson. Then you had Donovan Kaufman also left. He transferred to NC State. You know, that was always a player I feel like we heard about every spring and every like preseason camp. But this is, you know, a player to look out for. But Keontae Scott, he is back. Now they're moving from the nickel to a cornerback. We experimented with that in a bowl game. Look, I'm not going to judge him for that. That was his first time doing that. And that was just a tough situation overall. Outside of Keontae Scott, who are you looking at as some of the players that could step in those roles by those guys I mentioned that are no longer there?
Yeah, one of the main guys I'm looking at this year, Kayan Lee. Kayan Lee, actually got a chance to watch him play last year or 2 years ago in the Georgia State Championships right before he committed to Auburn. And I was pleased with what we saw last year with him. A very great freshman campaign for Kayan Lee. Keontae Scott, you know, you talked about Brian Battee earlier too. Keontae Scott coming back in the return game is going to be huge, but him stepping up and kind of being that star secondary role coming in, you know, I think of the DJ James role of, you know, him just being the main guy in there. It's going to be his ship here, but I think right after that, you got to think of sophomore Kayan Lee, kind of like Keldrick Faulk, where, you know, big sophomore campaign's upcoming and you feel like they've got something to prove and this is going to be the year that they do it.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting how that group shakes out because you had so much experience. And it's just, you know, you lose so much of it in one offseason. It is wild. And like I said, Donovan Kaufman, that's a big loss because experience. But, you know, obviously maybe don't fit in what they want to do, all that other stuff. But
And it's really weird, too, because, you know, we talked last year, the secondary being the most experienced unit. You had the Jalen Simpsons, you had the DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, all of those guys coming back, and now that's probably the least experienced unit on the Auburn defense. So if all three units can ever, you know, come together and be really experienced, it's going to be pretty dangerous because they've got the coaching there, they've got the recruits coming in, but they just all have to have the same amount of experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess you'll say running back is probably the most experienced position on the roster.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whatever they got going there. I mean, because like we said, quarterback, you can take Peyton Thorne out. There's no experience. And then receivers, we know that. And Juan has got some players they got to replace. So be quite interesting. We'll jump into basketball real quick before we get done here. Of course, this is dropping on Wednesday. Today, the SEC basketball tournament tipping off. Of course, Auburn is not playing until Friday because of their victory over Georgia, which I think Georgia's probably glad Jalen Williams is no longer dunking on them. That was
they're probably through with Katie Johnson too, even though he used to be a Bulldog. I'm sure they're done with him.
There's a lot of people in SEC that are probably glad will be glad when he's no longer around. And I've always said I love that they play him off the bench because he's going to bring the energy. Now he sometimes maybe a negative, and other times it's a big time positive with the energy because of some stuff he does. But still, he brings the energy, especially at home. If Auburn's not playing so great to start a game, okay, we'll just bring KD automatic energy to bring there in that arena. But just this team overall, just, you know, they come in, they get the double bye, they beat Alabama. I mean, I was hoping Tennessee. You got to, if you're an Auburn fan, you had to hope that Tennessee would have took care of Kentucky. And then I think Auburn would have been the 2 seed in the tournament, wouldn't it? If Kentucky would have lost to Tennessee.
I believe so. Either second or third, because I know the tiebreaker had to deal with Florida, but I can't remember how Florida played into it. But I think they probably would have been the 2 seed had that not have happened. And it would have been even better if Arkansas had finished the job on Saturday too, instead of letting Bama come back in overtime and get the win. But you know, 4 seed, you know, possibility of playing South Carolina first, you know, not the worst thing in the world, but you definitely wanted it to be a little better.
Yeah, that's the team they beat on Valentine's Day. It was not a loving day for South Carolina on that Wednesday night in that game when Auburn pretty much had their way with that team that day. I was pulling up the stats on that game. I know Auburn won the game, like I said, 101-61 at home. I mean, I know Auburn's tough to beat at home, but, man, 101-61 for a South Carolina team at the time was ranked 11th in the country. So that's a favorable matchup for Auburn. I'll bring for people watching on YouTube, we have the bracket up right now. So, yeah, so Auburn. So, no, you're not thinking Vanderbilt or Arkansas is going to beat South Carolina on Thursday?
I don't think so. I know Arkansas may, you know, try to go on a run there, but I don't see them getting past South Carolina. One team I am looking at, though, since you had the bracket pulled up, Missouri. Did not win a single game in the SEC this year. However, I'm pulling for them to make a big run to at least the quarterfinals, if not the semis, to just kind of surprise everybody and really put the madness in March Madness.
Yeah, you know, that first half last week against Auburn, they played well, but Auburn still had the lead going into halftime. I had to figure, like, if Missouri was going to win that game, pull off the upset against Auburn, they needed to have the lead going in half and some of that momentum. But then Auburn blew it out there in the second half. I was talking about the previous match. Like I said, when Auburn and South Carolina played on the 14th, Auburn won 101-61. They scored 50 in both halves. They held. South Carolina did not shoot the ball well, 3-15 from three. They were 34%. From the field, Auburn 61-60%. And I think, get your thoughts too on this. I think Auburn's 3-point shooting has got better. And a couple weeks ago, Hugh Freeze was talking about we need to make shots, not take shots. Like maybe not as many, but make more. And it seems like they've been doing better with that.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of that is Aiden Holloway getting the jitters out, because that was probably the biggest gripe from Bruce Pearl, is that the guard play, they were just throwing it up at times and not really, you know, taking into consideration, hey, maybe I need to get more of an open look, or maybe someone else is open and we can get a, you know, higher percentage shot. But Aiden Holloway, you know, took a couple of games where he wasn't in the lineup, came back in, he started to play a little better. And then you got to think of everybody else getting involved too. Jalen Williams is, you know, kind of back to where he was before he went down in the Kentucky game. Chris Moore, although he's not as productive as you would like for him to be, he's good for a couple of threes a game. Jani Broome is Jani Broome. Chad Baker Mazzara has gotten more minutes, and we've seen a lot of production from him because of that. So, yeah, it's just, you know, everybody's calmed down. Everybody's contributing a little more, and they're just they're breathing and having fun. You can really tell that they're having fun down the stretch.
You know, real quickly to close out. So I think Auburn would beat South Carolina again. But you're probably going to get another matchup with Tennessee. And then down there at the bottom, you got Kentucky and Alabama. We know what happens at the SEC tournament. It doesn't matter where they're at. The Kentucky fans are going to show up on Friday. It's going to feel like you're in Lexington when they're playing. I feel like Auburn will have a good crew. I think all these teams should have a good amount of fans there. But Auburn and Tennessee, just going to throw it out, if they match up again, what's the best route to defending Dalton Kincaid? We just saw him drop. He dropped 40 on Kentucky, and they still lost. We know what he did to Auburn. Outscored Auburn last 12 minutes of the game by himself. So if Auburn meets up with Tennessee again, what would you like to see Bruce Pearl do defensively with him?
Try to find a way to keep Dalton Kincaid at the hotel. I feel like that's the only thing you can do, because, you know, in Kentucky, you know, Kentucky, they had several shooters that scored over 25 points. I think one even got over 30, and they still, you know, found a way to beat Kincaid, even though he scored 40. But in the Tennessee game, I really don't think you could have asked Auburn to do much more than that, because Jani had over 22. I think he had like 27 in that game. There's just really not much that you can say. I mean, you play that well against Alabama on a neutral floor, even in Tuscaloosa, I think you win that game. You know, Kentucky at home, if you play a little bit better against Kentucky at home, like you did at Tennessee, you beat Kentucky, you beat Florida, you beat Texas A&M. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that Auburn could have beaten by playing that well, but Dalton Kincaid was just on it. And he's going to be hard to stop, but I feel like just got to find a way to get under his skin, whatever that is. I don't know how many teams have been able to do that. Maybe ask some of the Mountain West coaches when he was or the Big Sky teams when he was over at Northern Colorado. You know, how did you get under his skin if you found a way to do it? But he's just an incredible player, and I think that you're just going to have to be near perfect and take care of what you can take care of. That's the only way you're going to get Tennessee. And the fun thing is, and of course, it's bracketology and conference tournaments are going to really change all this stuff. But I saw the latest projection Monday from Joe Lenardi that said there's a possibility that Auburn and Tennessee could play in the Sweet 16. So how wild would that be? No matter what happens in the SEC. So you just got to, you know, play your best game. Don't have an off night. If somebody is having an off night, get someone in there that can shoot it away and have fun. And but, yes, it's going to be a challenge. I don't think it's impossible, but it's definitely going to be a challenge for Auburn to go in there and slow down Dalton Kincaid and the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, I sure is. I mean, that guy, it's just amazing what he did. So we'll see what Auburn's able to do. Like I said, we're releasing this on a Wednesday, so the SEC tournament is starting tonight if you're listening to this when that podcast release. And Taylor, you guys got it covered. Auburn football, spring practice, Auburn basketball, baseball, softball, everything Auburn, you guys got it covered. But just tell everybody where they can find you and where can they check out Auburn Wire.
You can check us out online at auburnwire.usatoday.com. We've got basketball coverage. We've got Auburn's path to the tournament, which we really break down every possibility of teams that they could play. We'll have updated bracketologies whenever we get them. Any other storylines going into the SEC tournament, we'll have at auburnwire.usatoday.com. We'll continue to do spring practice previews as well. Coming up, we have one on linebackers going to be out this week. We're also going to dive into the secondary and both offensive and defensive lines coming up soon. So anything you can think of Auburn-wise, we've got over at auburnwire.usatoday.com. You can also follow us on social media at the Auburn Wire for everything Auburn on social media.
All right, everybody, go check out the Auburn Wire. We keep up with all things Auburn Tigers athletics. And Taylor, once again, appreciate the time, and I look forward when we can do this again.
Hey, same here. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
All right, buddy, and that's going to do it for the show. We done went over 30 minutes, so we're going to close the show on that one. Got another show coming up on Thursday or Friday, looking to talk more spring practice and other stuff with you as well. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review. I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can also check out the show over at WiregrassDailyNews.com and the Wiregrass Daily News Facebook page. Also, Wiregrass Daily News Sports. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com and check out all my written work over at Last Word on College Football. Talk to you later on in the week. Till next time. Bye-bye.